Ah, so we have watched World Cup and come back. That was very fast. Amola, good evening. How are you doing?
Hey Adam, good evening. How are you doing? I'm okay.
What's up, man? It's been a very, very long time. It's been long overdue, but we are back here. How exactly?
I mean the World Cup to me, it was a very interesting one actually. But then having Messi win it, I would say he deserves it actually. But then the game is rigged. Anyways, but there's nothing we'll say
The
about
game is
it.
rigged. Did you just?
But yeah, the game is rigged now. Everybody
Okay.
knows Messi is a pet of the organization. So whoever Messi
Okay.
wants, that's the thing. But then he actually deserves it. Yes, everybody knows he's a pet of FIFA. He's FIFA's pet. And you can't deny that as well. But then he deserves it actually. At least if Ronaldo don't win, I mean Messi win him. As simple as that.
All right then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, come back to that. Balumi will be here very shortly, but in the meantime, Tamala, it's been a 1 month break. Well, in fact, let me still on the World Cup. Still on the World Cup. What exactly was your highlight of the World Cup itself?
Do I think the highlight will be Morocco for me actually, because Morocco are like they're like the under they are the underdogs of the tournament. They are the you know, everybody thought okay, African teams as usual, they're going to crash out in maybe the group stage or what. They moved a step, or let me say 2 steps forward, and put up a fight to finish fourth out of 32 countries. That is very, very impressive for Morocco. For African football.
Michael. All right
Yeah,
then.
I'm
We,
listening.
on that note, since Balumi has already in, he has already rudely interrupted before I introduced him, but we'll allow him like that. Balumi, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Adam. It's really doing this. I guess
It's honestly good. How was your
want
World
to.
Cup? Let me ask you the same questions I started with. How was your World Cup?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the greatest all time. Fantastic. I mean, perfect work. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Apart from the obvious fact that I know that you're probably going to say Messi's World Cup, winning the World Cup is your highlight. But apart from that obvious fact, what was your highlight of the 2022 World Cup?
I actually think what I really enjoyed about the World Cup was the fact that there were a lot of doubts, there were a lot of unexpected teams winning, a lot of okay underdogs getting wins, and it was and then you know the thing is an underdog story is actually a very beautiful story. I mean, look at Morocco. Morocco came through from a group that had Croatia, that had Belgium. Belgium that was at the top of the world for so long. They beat Belgium. Really, really nice. Then you look at Germany. Germany was hard. But I mean, look at Japan, the way they came back to that was also really
Well,
nice.
that's actually good one, actually. Like you did mention, there were a lot of underdog stories. And there were some clubs that I think what I would use, I think the word I would use would be overrated, but it is what it is. To be honest, I think if I want to mention names, number one on that list definitely has to be Belgium, like you did mention. We had a lot of hopes on them, but they did not exactly perform to expectations. So that's number one. Germany is another one as well. Spain also did not exactly live up to the bidding, but in recent times, Spain have been the, I think they've been one of those national teams that flatter to be seen. So I think that's another thing with the Spanish national teams. We're talking, if we're still talking about national teams that are overrated. But like you did, like the obvious surprise for everybody is Morocco. Morocco did very, very well. They were beautiful to watch. I had a few names. I have a few names that I would like to actually mention. I'll tell you, keep your eyes on them. I expect to see them somewhere in the future along the line. So I think that's also something. Well, I've come World Cup have go. Welcome back to the English Premier League. And I honestly, yeah.
World Cup has come, World Cup has gone along the way. We have some people who couldn't score knockout goals.
Let's not do this. Let's not do this. No. I'm not having you do this on today's episode. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Always rub it in. Always rub
Okay. Since you
it
want to rub it in, no
in.
problem. Go ahead. Well, anyway, oh, we lost Damola for a second. He'll be back. Michael will be back shortly. But in the meantime, like I said, this is English Premier League podcast. We're back to the Premier League. And honestly, I like the. I think one of the best things about. I think one, find that after the whole eating and everything, you know, like on Boxing Day when the celebration is still in the air and all that, and watch Premier League with your guys. You know, it's one of those beautiful things about the years. It's been a tradition from years beyond. And it's going to be, and it's looking like it's going to be something that will continue for years to come. So on that note, Monday, Boxing Day. Let's look at the fixtures. We are going to be wrapping up about 2 weeks actually, considering the fact that all of them are jam-packed together, so we can't exactly be breaking and coming and all that. So let's just run through 2 weeks of fixtures.
The initial beginning of the Premier League is going to be before the Tottenham Hotspur. Then also on Monday, that Monday, Eligico 1:30 p.m. 1:30 p.m. Nigerian time. 4 p.m. Nigerian time, we have four games.
We are looking at Crystal Palace against Fulham. We are looking at Everton against Wolverhampton. Or Leicester City against Newcastle. Can Newcastle keep up their form? That's a question I'm coming back to in a few minutes. Southampton against Brighton and Hove Albion. Then also we have 6:30 p.m. We have Aston Villa against Liverpool. But let me ask you about that. Aston Villa against Liverpool. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like, to be very honest with you, Adam, to be very honest, I feel like after the World Cup, it just feels like I've forgotten everything that was happening before the World Cup. I swear. I remember, though, that Aston Villa just appointed Emery before the World Cup. I think the thing for Emery is he didn't really have time for money. How many games did he play before the World Cup?
But, no, but I feel like speaking of Emery's new manager bounce, I think you remember that he beat Manchester United just before. I think that was even his first game in charge.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying, like in terms of consistency with like a long run of where they could have done. Okay, we are doing eight games unbeaten since we appointed Emery. Jonas, how many matches? I think 3 matches, and then we go on.
Yeah, one of them was even in the cup. I think it was against United. Yeah,
United.
United won in the cup. I remember that one. Well, all in all, I think let's still keep on going with the fixtures. Arsenal against West Ham is actually one. In fact, now that we are on the Arsenal topic, let me bring this to the house. Gabriel Jesus suffered an injury in the World Cup. He is not exactly supposed to be back until February ending. Does this affect Arsenal in any way?
Not exactly. I mean, Martinelli is in form. Fine, he didn't really play so much at the World Cup, but Martinelli is in form. Saka was in form at the World Cup. He was one of England's better players. So I feel like they would just, you know, more like just take up the mantle, keep going. You know, the only problem for them that I see now is Nketiah's finishing. Getia's finishing is terrible, to say.
Because that's the thing. I think that's something we have to mention, actually. Because now the question is, who comes in to replace Gabriel Jesus? Who does that Gabriel Jesus work in the Arsenal team? And the obvious name that you'd mention is Eddie Nketiah. But can he actually, of course, I don't expect him to be that Gabriel Jesus level. But is he good enough to still make it work for Mikel Arteta? Or does it mean they want entirely? That's something I'm looking at as well.
I don't exactly know. Let's see how they even line up first. Then we see what is going to. You know, one problem Arsenal has always alluded to because of the season is a quality backup nine. A lack of, you know, it's not just like it's not just quantity but quality. You have Nketiah is quantity, it's not quality.
That's a very fair point, actually. The day after Boxing Day, 27th, we have Chelsea against Bournemouth. Usually, I would go with the casual scoreline, Bournemouth 4-0 against Chelsea. That one is, I think that's like a year-by-year thing. Whenever Bournemouth are in the Premier League, they usually get the better of Chelsea. But is that going to happen again?
Chelsea, Bournemouth, I think, I don't know. I'm slightly tilting towards Bournemouth, actually.
Is that because you've actually been analytical about it?
Of course, I'm a United fan. I mean, look, this what do you call it? Before the break, if my memory serves me well, I think Bournemouth won one match just before the break. And one thing for Bournemouth,
go ahead.
They had the bulk of their players during the World Cup. They basically had no one lost to the World Cup. So
yeah, actually, Bournemouth's last game before the break was a 3-0 win against Everton. Chelsea's last game before the break was a 1-0 loss to Newcastle.
You see, my memory is working overtime. So you know, you look at Bournemouth. They didn't really lose players to the World Cup, meaning they had more time to come back to training, more time to, you know, now they are fresher. They have players like Silva. You look at the team. They have players who went to the World Cup. So, you know, coming back again, it would take a while for everybody to really gel and stop. Against the Bournemouth, you know, just training and stuff.
Yeah. I think that same concept applies to a team that we mentioned earlier that was coming back to. I skipped over it earlier. Newcastle. Newcastle were in extreme hot form before the break. And now they come back. It's more or less the same. I think apart from Callum Wilson and Nicole joined up with the English squad. And the both of them didn't exactly get an excessive amount of minutes. So I think Newcastle are still... Okay, Trippier also joined Newcastle. He joined the English squad. But I think apart from the first game... I think he played maybe just first two games and that was it for him. So I think for the Newcastle squad.
I think Walker came into the team. I think Walker
came in. Yeah, Walker came in the final group game. I think it was the final group game or the game against Senegal where Walker started coming back into the team, where Trippier had to be dropped from there on out.
Yeah.
So you can say the Newcastle team is pretty much still untouched. The back line is probably is going to still be Dan Burn, Fabian Scher. So I think it's still good for Newcastle. Okay, Fabian Scher did good. Switzerland.
Yes.
So yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, they did have a few players, but yes, very early. I think apart from England that made the, we can agree that okay, maybe this guy. We did mention that Nick Pope did appearance at all. That's number one.
This guy, Bruno Guimaraes.
Bruno Guimaraes. For the Brazilian national team, but I think that was just one game. I think he appeared in your third game against Cameroon, where Tite, you know, shuffled up the whole squad.
Yes. So
we are looking at the Newcastle players that did go to the World Cup, and we are looking at them, and I think Trippier got the most minutes of all of them. Wilson came off the bench against Iran. He came off the bench against, I think, Senegal as well. But nothing exactly mounted from their performances, so they didn't exactly get the most of minutes. So for Newcastle, it's a very good way to bring back down, to bring Kelly into the conversation. What exactly goes on? For those teams that were informed that they don't have most of the playing time at the World Cup, speaking of teams like Newcastle, like we did, we started from the conversation from, I think, sorry, pardon me now, for Bournemouth, yeah, from Bournemouth as well. We're talking about Bournemouth-Chelsea. Michael, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So we're discussing about Bournemouth-Chelsea. And for me, this is Chelsea players, they've gone to the World Cup. They've come back from the World Cup. So maybe they did not get enough resting time, could play on their playing ability right now. Maybe their fatigue levels and all that. But for Bournemouth, on the other hand, they just had players refreshing themselves, going to the gym, training, and getting in shape. So Chelsea against Bournemouth, first of all, let me even pick you up with that one. Where does that one suit for you?
Oh, well, I would not agree with the fact that the players going to the World. Definitely, they can get fatigued. But then I think it's the players that played. I'm thinking it's keeping them in great shape because the World Cup is a high-end competition, and you know you have to always be on your toes, always perform at a high level. So I think it's keeping them in shape as well. Mm. So and definitely the players that are coming back from the World Cup, they're going to rest because a week, maybe some clubs have given them a week off, some have given them 2 weeks off, and I think that's enough for them to recover at least. Mm. Before the matches start again, because even on a normal day, on a normal EPL day, you get like 3 days break, or maybe like if there's no match, maybe a week break. So for Chelsea, if they can, I don't know, because they were in a bad form before the World Cup actually. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of which, Chelsea were 7 games winless before the break. I remember that particular number now.
Like I don't know. So anything, I think they should just try to impress, you know, from the world. They should try to strategize and work on the tactics again, start again, and start all over. Like, this is a fresh season for them, and let them just get in form, because if they do, and some of their players are injured. They still have Chiwell injured. They have James injured.
James training, but we don't exactly know.
He's still injured. He hasn't started. I think he's training individual training. He hasn't been able to get into the team yet. So, and we know Chelsea, they rely most on their fullbacks to bring in the attack to them. Anytime their fullbacks are down, their numbers are usually very down.
Yeah. Speaking of Chelsea's injury issues, let me just chip this in as well. Wesley Fofana was supposed to be on schedule. Yeah, was supposed to be on schedule for a return on Boxing Day, but then there was somewhere last week, and he got injured again. So there was a further relapse in his recovery, and now we are hearing another 3 to 4 weeks on the sideline.
I mean, I would not say I'm not happy. All my enemies, they will begin to get down for. But then,
all this man, you boys.
The injury crisis for them is, I don't know. United also, I think we have injury crisis too. But then, let's see.
I think United are still good. I think Rashford looks to have redefined himself even over the World Cup break. He's got a very, very brilliant free kick. I think Rashford's free kick, and Bruno also in the World Cup was actually very fantastic.
Bruno was a top-rated. It was a top-rated player in the World Cup. So don't
definitely.
Don't play with me. Don't play with United players, I think. So Chelsea Bournemouth. Well, I think Chelsea, if they have the chance to re-strategize, and if Graham Potter can work his magic, I think they should be able to beat Bournemouth.
Okay. Well, just to wrap up on game week one, there is two Manchester games. There is Manchester United hosting Nottingham Forest, and there is Manchester City going away to Leeds United. Now, let me start with the City game. Erling Haaland has rested for a full month. Erling Haaland even made a video where he was testing out his acting skills, saying he missed his mate. His best friend in the squad, Kevin De Bruyne, left the World Cup very, very early. We saw a glimpse of what is to come in the Kevin Haaland part 2 last night when they knocked out Liverpool. So, where do we exactly stand on that? Let me come to you, Pelumi.
Man City to win. But before that, I want to first hurt them. I want to swear for them. That Brentford was the only blot in a 15-game ticket.
Well, let me. I'm not sure our listeners need to know that.
I'm very pissed. Because I needed that money was already like okay, it would get and then
well am I there?
Not the worst part, they were smallest odd 1.1 something.
Now straight in.
All my teams now taking
it. But let me back to Man City against Leeds, let's talk.
They're going to win. I mean, we saw what they did to Liverpool yesterday, and that was not even the current City squad. That's not the same guys that will start against.
Definitely. Now, Michael, let's wrap up on the first part of this. Let's wrap up on the first game week now. Let's talk about Manchester United against Nottingham Forest. Just to put it out there for publicity's sake, my mind is telling me that Taiwo Awoniyi is going to score the winning goal. That's just the honest truth. But let me hear from you.
Stud. Ada. Stud. No problem. See, I think United. I don't know. We are cooking. You saw what the boys the show the boys put up against Nottingham Forest. Against Burnley. Even though Burnley lost. My squad isn't complete now. I don't have a complete squad, but then the available squad was able to give out something nice. So against Barcelona, I'm expecting an easy win for us. But United, United, they would lose the easy games and win the hard ones. But I'm expecting a rejuvenation, because they form my players in the World Cup. If they can repeat or replicate that kind of form in a squad level, United will be pushing at a very, very high.
Michael.
All right. Gentlemen, we'll be back shortly for round. Let's take a break.
Hold on.
Sir?
I you have 10 seconds. Yeah, sorry. Where Michael, Mike, you know, United can be likened to Argentina. They need to be hard.
I didn't get
okay.
that. What's it calling me?
He said they make the easy things hard.
Yes, yes.
To the entire national team.
Yes.
Is it not the same? It was the same Pelumi that was complaining about City. You lost to the easiest team of all inside this world. Easier, in fact, if Carlo Pillars, if they play Saudi Arabia, they will beat them. All of you with your Messi and
we lost to Pat Molina
and
hello. Order in this courthouse. Order in this courthouse. We will work shortly for round two. These boys are not going anywhere. There are still choices I might to talk about in the second part, so we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned, Tetra Soccer, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Tetra Soccer. This is round. This is game week 17. Sorry, now this would be game week 18. We've done game week 17 already. So welcome back to Tetra Soccer once again. It's time to run you through the fixtures of game week 18 and game week 19 of the English Premier League season. This is going to be a very compacted one, but let's go through the fixtures quickly. Friday night, 30th of December, West Ham United against Brentford, Liverpool against Leicester City, also at 9 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, which is New Year's Eve, 31st of December, we have Wolverhampton Wanderers against Manchester United, Bournemouth against Crystal Palace, Fulham against Southampton, Manchester City against Everton, Newcastle against Leeds, Brighton against Arsenal. I find that one very interesting. Then on New Year's Day, we have Tottenham against Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest against Chelsea. Second, on Monday, 2nd of January, we have Brentford against Liverpool. 3rd of January, Tuesday, Arsenal, Newcastle, Everton, Brighton. Leicester City against Fulham, Manchester United against Bournemouth. Then on Wednesday, we have Southampton against Nottingham Forest. We have Leeds United against West Ham. We have Aston Villa against Wolverhampton Wanderers. We have Crystal Palace against Tottenham. Then finally, to wrap everything up, it's going to be the biggest one. The biggest game of 2023 to start with is going to be Chelsea against Manchester City on Thursday, the 5th of January. Gentlemen, let's go back from the beginning again. Let's start from Friday the 30th. West Ham against Brentford. Liverpool against Leicester is where I want us to actually pick our points from. Where exactly do we see this? We know that before the break, Liverpool were dwindling when it came to form. Liverpool were going up and down. They were not exactly stable. They beat Manchester City one weekend. The next weekend, they are losing to Nottingham Forest. They were not exactly shaky. They won 9-0 in a particular weekend. Then the next weekend, they are going to somewhere. Exactly. And all that. So their season has been like a rocky ship. So what exactly are we expecting? Most notably, I think, personally, could be good for Mo Salah. But let me hear your thoughts. Michael.
Yeah. The Firmino wasn't at the World Cup. This guy wasn't at the World Cup. Salah wasn't at the World Cup, as you mentioned. But I think the break for them to be for rehabilitation.
Yeah, I think even Luis Diaz did not go to the World Cup, so I think the break was good, although he was injured. So,
but I think Luis Diaz is currently injured. He's injured. He's out again now.
Diaz is out again.
Yeah, he's out. So, I think Firmino is going to have a good time up front. Salah also is going to have a good time. I think we saw what they could do. Even with Carvalho and. Even though the midfield is still not convincing enough for me.
Yeah, sure.
But then I think,
speaking of which, do you think they should go to the market in January?
If they want to make the top four, don't challenge for the top four, I think they definitely should go to the market in January. Because that midfield with the injury crisis and with the out of form players that they have, in fact, I think they should go to the world. But then January is not a good time to get players, but
if it's just a 10-month loan or something, because like you did mention, and I think everybody would agree with me, that midfield is not it for a top for a team that is contesting for European football or trying to contest for the league.
Yes, definitely. But then let's see, because this day Liverpool team will put up a 10 of 10 performance. The next weekend they'll put up a one of 10 performance. I think they've been found out. That's just one. I think Jurgen Klopp has been found out. it's my opinion, but then, you know, Jurgen Klopp, it was with the same team that he dominated Europe, he dominated the Premier League, even though Guardiola was competing. But then I think he has been found out, and I think he has to change. Jurgen Klopp has to change his mentality going forward. But then I'm not a coach. Anything that works for him, he should. But against Leicester, I think they'll get the win against Leicester's team.
All right, then. Against Leicester City, you think they would get the win. Now, the next game I want us to discuss is Brighton and Over Albion. This Brighton team, fantastic form, fantastic coach, fantastic new coach. Everything is looking good. Trossard is on fire. McAllister just won the World Cup. It's looking very, very beautiful for the Brighton team. On the other hand, now they have to face a certain Arsenal team. Earlier we were talking about how maybe Gabriel Jesus' injury might affect this Arsenal side. But then it just struck me again that Emile Smith-Rowe has been out for a long time, but he's back. According to the report, he should be making an appearance in their very first game on Boxing Day against West Ham United. So now, based on that, what exactly do we think is going to happen, speaking of this Arsenal side, against a Brighton and Over Albion team? Follow me.
Against Brighton and Over Albion. Adam, can you ask?
Okay. Michael, they said I should ask you. What do you think is going to happen between Arsenal and Brighton?
I don't think there will be anything out of the blues that can happen. It is football. Anybody will win, anybody will lose. But this Arsenal team. Saka is in form. Because mm-hmm. What did at the World Cup? It was very interesting to watch with England team as well. And Xhaka and Switzerland, they were out there. But they have players coming out from the World Cup that are in form as well. Right. McAllister as well is going to bring the old World Cup winning mentality into the small side. So as Brighton, we know Brighton they were in form even before the break. Yeah. So this tie could go anyway. It could go anyway. But someone said he dreamt. Arsenal won their first two games on return. So I'm not giving it to Arsenal anyway, because it's going to be a tough
But match. You are giving it to the dream.
Yes, I'm going to go with the dream.
Okay. All right, just before we wrap up on Arsenal, do you think maybe Arsenal should go into the market in January to maybe bolster their squad? I mean, they are top of the Premier League, maybe they want to actually see the league this season.
I don't think Arsenal have so many injury woes. I don't think they have.
But if you are using the same starting 11 constantly, would you not speak on their fatigue levels at the point?
Adam, I want to say that I actually feel that Arsenal are like two injuries away from crumbling. Look at that team. They have Bolly in the left. They have Jesus up front. Jesus is injured right now. Look at the replacement. Edwin Ketia, that one has been a talented youngster for 15 years now. Look at Bukayo Saka on the right. Saka, very good. But once Saka gets injured, who can take his place? Look at that score. There's really no quality in there, especially up front. Jesus now, we have Martinelli. Is up injured. They have McKinnon isn't exactly tested. No, we cannot really come here and sit and talk about his quality. So you look at them. Actually, that's not just a few injuries away from, you know, going down. And look at the midfield.
Okay. So are you saying that Arsenal should go to the market in January then?
Yes. If they can buy a big set, 2-3 players, yes, they need it.
Do you think this Arsenal side can go into which part of the squad do you want them to go into the market for in January? Because I think they are settled at the back, and the midfield is still shaky. The forward line.
If I was to pick it up from you, Michael, I would say that, for example, I think number one, if Bukayo Saka goes injured, who comes in there? If nowhere else actually maybe. That has a replacement. If everywhere else has a replacement, rather, I don't think they have a replacement for Bukayo Saka's left foot.
Personally. Nelson.
I mean, I've looked at it.
Nelson, I think Nelson is injured again. I think he's injured.
Which Nelson plays? Which Nelson last time? Last time he had to come on. that he came on for Bukayo Saka, you would say maybe it was because it was against Nottingham Forest when he got 2 goals. But I don't think he actually gave up even convincing performance. And another question is, can Nelson even sustain himself over a period of time, over a string of games? Is another thing. Can he actually sustain 90 minutes, maybe twice a week or thrice a week rather? Because at some point the Europa League would come in, at some point the Premier League out of the cup. So it's another thing to actually question.
If you are not a big team, I would. If you are not a big team like City, Liverpool are struggling. I think you are definitely going to. It's going to be a problem if your starting players get injured. I don't think any. I don't think there will be any replacements as Bukayo, because even his work rate alone, what Bukayo Saka can do, Bukayo Saka is very dangerous.
That's exactly what I'm going at. If someone like I think if nobody else, because like you did mention, I think the work rate of Gabriel Jesus can even be matched by Eddie Nketiah. I actually do have faith in Nketiah. I think if Martinelli goes injured, I think Smith Rowe is a very good name to throw in the mix there. But if Saka goes out injured, I can honestly not pick one name.
Adam.
Marquinhos, like Pelumi did mention, untested. Pelumi, go Adam. Ahead.
Yes, you look at Nketiah. You know, the thing is, yes, he has work rate. Perfect. You know, but the thing is, finishing is a problem. Look at him when he plays. The kind of chances he passes off. Fine, it's not like as if Gabriel Jesus is like the Jesus of Arsenal and then he finishes off everything. No. But he's still a better striker in terms of his link-up play than his finishing than Eddie Nketiah.
Definitely. Well, let's move away from Arsenal. I think that's enough with the Arsenal. Let's move.
I think switching to Everton,
for all the hope and good feeling I have for Everton, I think they are going to, because honestly, I think right now any team City would face in the next 4-3-5 games, I think they are going to suffer something defined as the wrath of Haaland and the wrath of Kevin De Bruyne, because De Bruyne is definitely angry that his country did cash out early.
What's his name, Kevin De Bruyne, Albino guy. What he couldn't do for Belgium, he's going to come and start terrorizing teams in the Premier League and that's exactly my point.
Adam.
Yes, go ahead,
we have to look at is the fixture list. You know, in terms of fatigue is something you have to consider, and then people still have to chop and change. Fine, they have very crazy quality in depth. I mean, you take out Haaland, you bring in Alvarez, who was like the third highest goal scorer at the World Cup, considering he didn't even start. It's just that you would have to chop and change. So it may get to affect them, but you know, I don't think you should look too far ahead. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, away from that one now, let's look into other games. Brentford against Liverpool on the 2nd of January. I think that's another place where maybe my mind actually comes down to, because this Brentford side, just before the... I'm looking at this now based on what I know of Brentford before the break now. Brentford before the break, it is no news that they took down the two Manchester clubs. And that means they have a knack when it comes to taking down the big boys. I mean, they did suffer when they got to Brighton. They lost 3-0 against Arsenal, rather. They lost. But when it comes to the big ones, they kind of have this rejuvenated energy. Do you think maybe... And in fact, let me even bring it back to the table. Now, on the Liverpool side, with Arnold and the likes of... Okay, Diaz is injured at the moment, like he did mention rightfully. But with Arnold, Salah, Cavalier... But primarily Arnold and Salah, what exactly do we think of them after this break? Do we think the break did good for them? Is it going to their top shape and maybe get Liverpool firing again? Let me start with you.
I think for Salah, he needed the break, because if you look at Salah before the break, it wasn't exactly the Egyptian hero that we all know. I feel like he wasn't in form, so he needed to just rejuvenated at all. Which I feel the break is good for Salah. So
during the break, she don't be photo shooting. They do ni. What did they do during the break?
It doesn't mean he would not have rested well. Now, but we tend to forget that Arnold went to the World Cup.
How many matches did Arnold?
He was on the bench.
Appearance. It's not like I think
No. He made appearances, of course.
Really? I'd have to check my record book on that one. Interesting.
But you know,
let's keep going then.
For Arnold, I don't know. You know, I don't really know. Arnold is just, he'll come back, do what he can do, and then do the things he can do with the team.
All right, then. Well, that Michael already did give his piece earlier, and I think, if I'm correct, he did mention in his exact words, he said he thinks Liverpool and Jordan have been found out by other teams. That's exactly why Liverpool are having a very rocky season at the moment. But away from that one, now let's discuss something interesting. Arsenal against Newcastle. It's like the resumption of this break for Arsenal, it just keeps piling up those interesting fixtures. Those games that you think, okay, it's an open and shut case of Arsenal should win. But then on the other hand, you look at them again, they are tricky fixtures. They will start with West Ham United, then they will go to Brighton, then they would host Newcastle. Is this where we start to question Arsenal's credentials for titles? Do you think they can actually weather this? Well, let me come to you.
As for Arsenal, I feel like this time really tests if they are really ready to win a title. Because one thing City would try their best to avoid is another slip up. If City are their way, they want to keep winning the next 10 games, know that they are doing the job at their own end, meaning it will be left up to prove that we're ready to win this. I think they are 5 points ahead of City. We are really ready to win this. So these games, especially against a Newcastle team, that Newcastle are informed. They were informed before the break. You know, one thing that break
but Newcastle right now, you know that Newcastle right now, they are in the top four.
They are in the top four now. Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. That the thing is, Newcastle were informed before the break. But one thing this break can do, it can just really break up momentum. In terms of, if you were winning, you could go to break, come back, and then start finding it difficult to pack things together. And it's possible you go, come back, and you're still good. And then you could be losing, go for the break, get to play ahead, come back winning. So for Newcastle, it's dicey. But if it's the new of before the break that comes up, bro, they're going to beat us now.
Well, away from that one, I think for everybody, honestly, right now, I'm keeping an open mind, especially for this opening set of fixtures. I think, like you did mention, the break becomes that X factor, if you ask me, in this Premier League season. I think that the break can either make you or mar you. It could, like you did mention, if you were losing, you could go for the break, come back with a clear head, and step it up again and actually redefine yourself. You could be winning, take the break, and just lose the mojo. You could also be winning, take that break, get that rest, and get back on, even firing at even a better rate. So fingers crossed on the way it is going to go for Arsenal, honestly. But now let's talk about the big one and our final game of the weekend, the final one we are going to discuss. It's Chelsea against Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. Where do you think we head?
The game, the fixture will end in Manchester City's win. Because I don't see what and how this Chelsea team that I watched before the World Cup anyway, how they want to take down this Manchester City. Mm. And as you rightly said, what I break is a break. No one knows anything. To start right now, it's going to be very hard. If you can play, it's going to be long to them playing in the EFL or before. We saw City play yesterday. We saw them firing on all cylinders. I don't think Chelsea have crashed out. I think of the
Chelsea are not in the competition.
Yeah.
of the EFL Cup. Sorry. So their game on Boxing Day, or I don't know, the Boxing Day fixture is what's going to determine what they will play against City. That's the point. So if they play at top notch, because this City side, I don't know how you want to stop this Alan guy. This De Bruyne and Alan combination. Only if they could do as Brentford did, and you know, you can take them down and oh. But this Chelsea team will interfere in Norman City. I'm so sorry.
All right, well, let me just wrap up this. What do you think of Chelsea against Manchester City?
Chelsea against Manchester City. I think they will go to Manchester City. Forget Boxing Day. Even if Chelsea decide to score 15 goals on Boxing Day, after Boxing Day, the gift that they collected on Boxing Day, that they opened on Boxing Day, Manchester will collect it back from them again.
All right, then. Now, gentlemen, this is where me personally I have a problem. We have talked about the fixtures. Now, let's talk about the players themselves and the ones that we need to keep for our FPL team. Because right now, me, I have a problem. My FPL team is not looking so sweet right now. I am trying to chop and change, but it's not looking so easy. I have drafted, I still have issues. So, Palumi, let's start with you. Do you have any ideas?
You think that we should
put our eyes on, put your money on?
Wow, you people are playing FPL. FPL speeds.
Yes, but let me joke in. But let me see now, honest, now, Abby.
I have not opened my FPL since the last time I opened.
Okay, just so you are aware, the next deadline is 12 p.m. on Boxing Day, which is Monday. So you still have the good side of 48 hours or 60 hours before that.
I will do that now. But you know, that's... I cannot really think of anything as per FPL right now. Anything I know is
my own FPL cash money advice right now so far is captain Erling Haaland no matter the situation. Go back to that. Michael, let's hear from you. Do you have any FPL picks right now? Any grand picks in FPL right now?
In the Portuguese squad, I think he only featured throughout the group stage and
was dropped for knockout stages. So I think he has added enough rest up to this moment. So Cancelo might would be a very good option, and Trippier as well. England were out early.
Cancelo
what I didn't get what you say,
but yeah, Cancelo did feature. He featured, but he did not exactly start. I remember the game against Morocco. I think he came off the bench.
I mean, I didn't see, like, he didn't start, like, he didn't, it wasn't 90 minutes in knockout stages, like, as in the group stages. You know, he played the group stages quite well. So, I think Cancelo will be back. And I have Dalot in my team as well, but Dalot right now, I think he has a yellow.
But hold on. You know that man we started giving an assist in United's last game? That's in the EFL. Do you think that puts a little star on his credential and maybe put him in the next game?
That's good for him. I'm not taking Wan-Bissaka in my team unless I'm looking for clean sheets. If I'm looking for someone to give me points, assist Michael, points, I'm being the good. Yeah, I'm with you.
Please, for Wan-Bissaka in that team. To be very honest, forget the assist he had. See, even if he had scored the brace against him, Ten Hag will still start. Has been on fire. Even when he came in for Portugal at the World Cup, you just felt like on Cancelo on the right hand side. So you know, like Dalot exactly at World Cup, and the one part against Burnley. It was just one assist for both.
But just to put a little spice, I think also the fact that Saliba did not exactly. I think he only made an appearance against Tunisia. Again, speaking of the French national team, I think he's still going to be in that very, very full level of energy, full level of mentality. I think he's going to be good as well. I still have him in my team.
I don't think he did.
Balumi, you said?
Saliba didn't play. He didn't play because I saw a meme.
No. I'm sure that Saliba made an appearance. I'm pretty sure it was against Tunisia because in that game against Tunisia, everybody was rotated. He did not still start that game, but at some point, they gave him some minutes. I think it was after France conceded in that game.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Saliba made an appearance.
He played against Tunisia, yeah. Played against Tunisia.
And that was the only appearance throughout the whole World Cup for William Saliba.
Yep.
So I think it's going to still be good if you are looking for an FPL asset in defense. Like me now, my defense right now says Cancelo, Trippier, and Saliba. So I think I'm still good on that front. I still have Nick Pope as my goalkeeper as well. I'm looking for a way to fit in Mohamed Salah, but I've not found a way to yet.
My defense is I'm trusting this guy Cucurella because
that's a very very big gamble. That's a very big gamble.
Yeah, because Chelsea's backline, most of them they don't have Chilwell, they don't have James. So Cucurella, and it will still be
Azpilicueta. It will probably be Azpilicueta and Cucurella. I think I understand that bit.
Of course, so and their next game is against Bournemouth. If they're facing Man City, I'm taking him out for Dalot. I'm not taking a player that will concede 7 goals against Man City.
Are you kidding me? Why would they concede 7 goals?
So I still have anybody still has Amiron in their team because I still have Amiron.
I do. I do. Of course, I do have Amiron in my team.
Okay, and
I still have Martinelli in my team.
I'm trusting. I don't. I have Odegaard. I can go for Martinelli because you know Martinelli in the World Cup. I think he just had the glimmer. He didn't really play much like that, but he had the glimmer. Yeah. That's.
I have an issue though. I think the both of you can actually help me discuss a little. Gabriel Jesus is injured. Who exactly are we bringing in to replace him? Somebody outside the three of us here said Alexander Mitrovic would come good. Also, I started thinking about Ivan Toney. But Ivan Toney, with the case and everything, I'm not even sure if he's going to be getting the minutes.
Ivan Toney is going to go away for a very long time. I don't think trusting Ivan Toney is a good thing right now. Because with the charges against him, I think he's looking at a very, very long time away from playing football.
From but football, yeah.
I have Martial. Don't tell anybody, but I have Martial in my team.
So the good thing about United, right? I am also thinking about United players is that their first three games are actually very, very good. Yeah, so United players might not actually be a bad option, but which one of them can you trust and say, okay, this one would actually help you?
I'm definitely trusting Rashford. Bruno Fernandes, I don't know, but I have De Bruyne in my team, so I don't know who to bring in for Bruno Fernandes. And if I have to bring in Bruno, I'm going to have to ask one of Kane and Haaland. I don't want to do that. I want to go in blazing. But breaking news right now, United have opened talks with PSV for Cody Gakpo. Let's see if
Speaking of which, Pelumi, I think I want to lose Madison though. I mean, there's a yellow flag on his head saying that there is a 75% chance. And also, I'm looking at his fixtures. They are not exactly simple. There's Newcastle, there's Liverpool, and then there's Fulham. So I think Madison is just logical to lose right now.
I think I already told Madders. Break. I don't know what is in my team at the moment.
I think, but at the end of the day, also, one last thing I want to mention is that.
I don't have Jesus too, so I'm not.
Yeah, a lot of people actually have sold Jesus. I'm just one guy that kept faith in him for a long time. Also, the thing is, with Phil Foden, he's good. He has the ability.
Not Jesus.
He has the ability, speaking of Phil Foden. But the question is, will he get the time? That's where my question mark comes in. I'm looking for a way to upgrade Foden to Salah, actually.
Adam.
Most people don't like. I don't know. Maybe most people, but I have quite a lot of people who share the same sentiments. They don't really rate Foden. They don't rate Phil Foden as a player or as a winger. They feel he cannot thrive in another team except this Manchester City team. And I don't know. Anytime they're discussing that, I just keep quiet because I'm not very sure about that. But then I'm not getting food in my team. When I have a land, I have 3 City assets.
I have three City players of now, which are Cancelo, Foden, and Erling Haaland.
I have De Bruyne. What are you doing without De Bruyne?
Wait,
right now, I don't know. Follow me. Let's hear you. Let's wrap up this. Follow me. Go ahead.
Okay, this Damola is talking about he doesn't want to buy football because he doesn't want to take chances. The same person I want to buy Cucurella. Hey,
Cucurella is going to.
No. He stated his reason for having Cucurella, and honestly, I understand. But it is Chelsea as a whole. which makes it a gamble. But I really hope it doesn't pay off for you, so you don't have to start chasing in the league. So
wait,
I am bottom of the league.
That's so fantastic. Michael, you want to do something?
I have three City assets. What am I going to lose for Foden? I cannot afford to lose.
I'm not. This, no. I understand. That's why I'm saying personally. I'm trying to look for. Normally, I wanted to lose Foden to upgrade. But now with the yellow light and the fixtures that I'm looking at for Leicester City, I'm slowly starting to rethink Maddison.
I'm
looking at maybe something like a Maddison for maybe a Rashford. Maybe, just maybe. But
this Odegaard I have, I don't even know.
Odegaard should still come good, actually. He's on set piece duty. He scored a free kick just a few weeks ago against AC Milan. So I think Odegaard also did not go to the World Cup. So I think the break was good for him. He looks fit and roaring to go. So I think Arsenal assets that did not go to the World Cup. And even the ones that did go to the World Cup did not exactly get so many minutes. It's just unfortunate that Gabriel didn't get injured. Martinelli only played one game. He appeared in a few others. He did not exactly start. He only played that one game against Cameroon. So I think for Martinelli, you can still keep him. Saliba, like I did mention, did not exactly get so many minutes in the World Cup as well. So you are good.
See,
if Arsenal, you are the risky Arsenal, type, you this, can still keep Ramsdale.
This Arsenal team, they're just one loss. They're one loss away from losing the top of the table. I'm telling you. Just one loss.
They are 5 points ahead now. So if they lose one, they still have 2 points. But I understand where you're coming from.
Once they lose their first game, the pressure is going to be on them because this break, anything can happen. A team can go up, can go down, it can continue. So if this, because most of their players did not get playing time in the World Cup. They didn't feature. Maybe only this guy, Xhaka, featured because there was nobody to play position for Switzerland and Partey for Ghana. So the rest, they are forward line, Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus.
And Partey left. And Partey left like weeks ago. Partey left after the good stages. So
yeah. Let me say Saka still played for the England team very well.
Yeah, that's actually very good. That's a very good observation.
Let's see what happens, Sean. Let's see what goes on.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for doing this again. I really missed it. It was fun to be back. It is fun to be back. And we will see you guys again in another 2 weeks after these fixtures that we have discussed have been exhausted. Thank you very much for sticking with Tetra Soccer. We'll be back next week. And of course, don't forget to follow us everywhere. We're on Twitter, Instagram, of course, WhatsApp, everywhere. Thank you very much. We'll be back later.